Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
B. Bishop Finley, high noon in the District of Columbia. Excited to get on the Rude Guest Hotline here and talk to our friend, Mr. Joe Theismann. Joe T., obviously, you care about the burgundy and gold in a serious, significant way. You played for the organization, won Super Bowls here. How do you balance what really was a tough game yesterday with what really was a great season?
I think that's, you know, really the way you have to look at it. By the way, good morning, B. Mitch. Good morning, JP.
What's up, man?
Hey, how are you, Joe?
If you look back at the season, there were a lot of games there that could have gone either way for us. I thought this team grew an awful lot through the course of the year. I think it matured. I think Jaden certainly, you know, matured as the season went on and will continue to grow at the position. And I think he'll be an outstanding, you know, a star in our league going forward, as other members of the team will be. I think there's, you know, going to be an evaluation from guys that have contributed tremendously that are a little bit older. We've got a lot of cap room as far as being able to acquire free agents. And, you know, we won the two playoff games by not making mistakes. And you can slice these games up any way you want, but if you don't make major mistakes, if you don't make the mistakes, your chances of winning go up. But, you know, we gave Philadelphia too many short fields, too many opportunities to be able to put points on the board. That's really, when you look at this game, that was the reason why we lost. But I don't think you can look at this game and say, well, you know, the season was a disappointment. Not at all. This was an incredible football season for the Commanders, for the players, for the organization, and more importantly, even for the fans, to really, really get on board and have hope and optimism, true hope and true optimism for this team going forward.
Joe, you know, like fans, they basically get the mindset that, you know, my team's going to win every time, which we know is not true. And I've always said, you have to learn how to win. And the Eagles have been to this point, you know. They have a team that's ready to compete at all levels. Washington doesn't. And I think this, they can learn a lot from this game because, you know, you had guys that you're going to depend on for the rest of their career that didn't make mistakes a lot. And I think once you had familiarity with that game, it doesn't become big for you. And they'll start to win when they learn how to win.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think they did a little bit of that, right, during the course of the year. You know, going up to Detroit and winning, you know, winning that football game, I think made a world of difference to this football team. Going down to Tampa and being able to, you know, win down there. So, you know, we've won on the road, won two big games on the road. You played in the division and won games. You know, Philadelphia, you know, they beat us 2-1 through the course of the year. You know, Jalen Hurts is healthy. Saquon is something to deal with. The real gut punch really came on the first Philadelphia play.
Yeah.
And I've talked about it all week, and I know you. We've talked about it. You have to tackle him. You're not going to body block him. I mean, you have to just go stick your head in and try and tackle him, and then wait for help. Tackle him, hold on, and wait for somebody to come and help you. You know, if he gains 30 year on that particular play, it's different than going 60.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you know, but this is what he has done all year long, and that's going to be Kansas City's challenge: is how do you contain and stop the big burst, the big run? Because they're going to put people around the line of scrimmage. They don't care. You know, they're going to put them there, and they're going to come, and they're going to go after Hurts. They're going to make Hurts throw the football, going to make the receivers catch the ball. And for us, though, it was, you know, you put that huge drive together, and all of a sudden then it's wiped out in an instant. And I think that, you know, was a gut punch for us initially. We recovered well, but then you just can't make those kind of mistakes and hope to win football games. Not against good football teams.
Totally.
I'm with you. I mean, and Joe, I don't know if you thought this, but every fumble seemed to be worse than the one before it. Like Diami, early fumble, all right, that's a bummer. Then McNichols turns it over right after they score, and they score again, and that's a killer. And then Eckler late. Jaden had just gone on that touchdown drive, seemed like they had something going. He had the wild, beautiful pass to get the two-point conversion, and then Eckler puts it on the ground. And it just everyone seemed to snowball.
And each one of the guys, just, you know, I mean, they were trying so hard. I mean, he ran all the way across the football field, trying to turn it up a little bit, get a little bit more yardage. I always think of this: when you catch a ball in the middle of the football field, the first person that comes to my mind is Marvin Harrison. Very seldom are you going to catch the ball in the middle of the football field and be able to gain many more yards. You know what Marvin used to do? He'd slide down.
Mm-hmm.
No chance for anybody to strip the ball from you.
Yeah.
You've got the yards you need to get, and you know, the chance of a fumble are minute by anything. But, you know, the more you fight, the more you work, and the way these guys punch the ball out now, if you get two people around you, the ball's got to be held on to. I mean, he had the ball in the right hand. He had it outside. They just, you know, they made a great play. On the kickoff, I don't even know why guys return kicks anymore. But the percentage of guys that get past the 30-yard line is minimal. Just catch the ball or let it go in the end zone. Make sure it goes to the end zone. We start at the 30-yard line. I mean, they wanted, you know, to me it looks like the league wants to eliminate the kickoff completely. Well, accommodate them. The amount of kickoffs that were returned for big yardage are so far and few between. The ones that are returned for touchdowns are even less than that. But hey, I don't fault the effort. I don't fault the try. It was, you know, just, you know, running into people, a lot of people, and then of course, you know, Austin just was trying to get up and make a play. And anytime a guy is trying to get up, and if he makes the catch and he slips and he's trying to get up, that's probably the most vulnerable ball carrier in football, because you don't have your balance. You're using probably one hand to try and help you get up. You don't have the ball protected, and we saw what happened.
Yeah, totally, totally. We're talking with our friend Joe Theismann here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Of course, you can follow Joe T at Theismann7. Joe, it's fascinating to think about the NFL. Think about a guy like Dan Marino, who was just so on fire as a rookie early in his career, and then he never got back to a Super Bowl. With Washington, it feels like this is the door opening to what could be a hell of a run here for a while. What do you think they need to kind of focus on and build to keep this thing going? There's obviously going to be turnover. There's turnover every year in the NFL.
Yeah, and then you've got age as a factor for our football team, too. Bobby's not any younger. Zach's not any younger. You know, you're, you're, you know, you take a look at the offensive line. To me, the offensive line is always an area where you can add people. You know, you add. I think that may be, you know, that may be where Adam's gonna look. I don't know if that would be number one, but I think you have to take into consideration your offensive line, your linebacking position. Those are two that I think will be critical from additions. And let's really, as incredibly captivating as this year was, before we go out and say, well, you know, it is a great foundation. It's a great foundation for Jade to be able to build on, and the offense to build on. You know, Brian's a young running back. Your quarterback is a young guy. Your wide receivers are pretty young. But look at the way we won those last five games, last six games. Mm-hmm. I mean, we fought tooth and nail all the way to the end of those games. There wasn't a game where we had a 14-point lead with 3 minutes. There wasn't a Detroit Lion game,
right,
in those final games. So, you know, foundationally, I believe we've got pieces in place to be able to lay a good foundation. Now the question is, will those games go the other way next year? The final play games that we saw. But I think this team has built confidence in what it can accomplish. It was a fantastic year. It was fantastic for the fans. It was heart-wrenching here in this loss. But, you know, Philadelphia isn't going to get any weaker from what I can see. So, you have to look at them right now and say, okay, you got to assume that the Cowboys probably will be better than they were a year. The Giants you don't know about, so... But for us, I really think you sit down and look and say, okay, where do we add our pieces? Where do we add the pieces to give us a chance to be able to build and go forward? And the offense will be a little different, too, because Jaden will be able to grow in it with Cliff. I don't believe Cliff's leaving to go anywhere, I think, which is great. I mean, we saw with Ben
unlikely.
Johnson up in Detroit.
Yeah. Right.
It does. We saw it up in Detroit. Ben Johnson stayed this year in Detroit. Did not take a head coaching job last year simply because he believed that this football team was going to be in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. He believed the Detroit Lions were going to be there. And all year they played like they would.
Yeah, I agree with you. Go ahead.
I think Cliff is, Cliff has really laid a foundation in this offense where it can only grow and get better.
Yeah, I totally agree with you about the offensive line. I think also the defensive line because, you know, being a skill position guy, I think if you got better offensive linemen, better defensive linemen, your team has the ability to be more consistent. And I think
I agree.
Consistency
100%.
Hurts this team. And if they get more consistent, then people have problems.
I think our offensive line acquitted themselves really, really well all year. I mean, those guys fought and played hard. And you know, when you look at the teams that get into the championship games, okay, the offensive line of the Kansas City Chiefs, they made one move out their left tackle, and it made them stronger. The Bills, most of their guys played together most of the year. Philadelphia's offensive line has been very consistent, albeit the center. I mean, you know, their center position was a little in flux, but, you know, you've got the guards on the sides to help out as far as that goes. And of course, you know, like I say, our guys, I like they fought their hearts out, man. I'm so proud of this football team. I'm so proud of the way they played, the class they played with, the execution. Makes you proud to be a Washington football guy.
Joe, when the season ended for you, you know, how long did you stay away? I know I talked with Darryl Green, I talked with Art Monk, and they would tell me stuff. But as a quarterback, you all are it drains you mentally during the season. How long do you stay away from it before you get back into preparing for the next year?
Well, I mean, you know, going to two Super Bowls in a row, you know, you're going to take the first one you win, and it's like, you know, the whole world's a bowl of cherries. I mean, it's unbelievable. Uh-huh. Opportunities all over the place, so you stay busy. Mentally, I think you need some time, maybe a month. But I got right back through. Jay Bernetti and I used to get out. Right at the end of the season, I'd take 3 weeks, a month. Well, I'd be right back out throwing in February. I'd be back out at the park working on my game, trying to get better, thinking about the things that I've done, looking at the film. You know, why did you do this? Why did you do that? Could you have made a better decision here? To beat yourself up doesn't accomplish anything. But to study film and grow from it gives you a chance to improve your abilities. And so for me, I think nowadays it's different. I mean, we played 14 games when I got in the league. Then we went to 16 games. Right. And then, we actually wound up playing 18, 19 games in the Super Bowl. But I think you need to really take a step away a little bit, spend some time with your family, spend some time with yourself, and sort of recharge a little bit, and then work yourself into it as opposed to jumping in with both feet again, because it's a long grind. It's a grind. I mean, you get tired at this point. The older guys, especially. Yeah, we're worn out. I agree with you, JP. Listen, emotionally, we're spent.
Yeah.
I sat last night in that chair after that game was over, and I didn't want to do anything. I didn't want to eat. I didn't want to get up. I just sat and sort of reflected on, which wasn't really hard to reflect on, the things that, we did to lose the football game.
Yeah.
I
would take that as soon as the season ended, it was like Gil and my buddy Corey, we would go to Vegas, and I tell him, I say, 4 days, don't mention football to me at all.
That's right.
and we would just enjoy ourselves, just have fun. No football.
Don't
we
you
just
dare.
4 days. It was great.
I bet, man. You gotta unplug it a little. I'm at some point. It's probably gonna be after the Super Bowl now, but there's gonna be a couple days off to all my bosses somewhere. Joe, I'm curious if you landed the same spot Brian and I kind of did, specific to yesterday's game. I hate the final score because it makes it look a lot more one-sided than it necessarily was. Not that Philly wasn't in control, but it wasn't a 30-point drubbing most of that game.
Right.
But the way I saw that yesterday, I didn't think the refs were very good. I think the turnovers were way worse. But ultimately, I think Philly was the better team, and they leaned on depth and experience in that game where they were just better, bigger, faster, stronger. And that's now Washington sees where they need to get to.
Well, JP, it's interesting. Conceptually, they present a problem because Saquon can break one anytime. And he can run the football. I think he might have tweaked a, 2 weeks off is going to help him. I think he might have tweaked a calf yesterday too.
Yeah,
he did.
Because, I think he had a little bit of a flat tire there as that game went on. Because we didn't see him quite as much.
He only had 15 carries.
Yeah, he kept working on his calf, so it was something.
Yeah, they spotted him really. But then on the other side is you've got Goddard, you've got Smith, and you've got Brown. You can't afford to go one-on-one with A.J. Brown. I don't care. Marshawn's he's a big corner. But still, he's so physical. And what bothered me about the personal foul that we got, it should have been offsetting penalties.
Totally.
Because he rips his helmet off, and all of a sudden they give us the penalty? I mean, both of them were in each other's face. But 9 times out of 10, you see a call go offsetting penalties.
Yeah,
I was shocked that we just got that one. That one bothered me a lot. But I think Philly's a very balanced football team. And when Jalen Hurst has the opportunity to be able to run, like he did on the quarterback draws, just picking and choosing his direction. Because it's the one you're not going to spy him. Okay, you're going to spy Jaden, but you're not going to spy Jalen. And it makes sense too, because he runs somewhat infrequently. It's the same thing with Patrick Mahomes. You're not going to spy him. He had close to 50 yards rushing yesterday.
Yeah.
So it's an advantage for that team to have his mobility and his ability to add another weapon. So you've got the running back, you've got tight end, two wide receivers, and a quarterback that can just pick his way in key situations. It's a tough offense to defend.
Yes.
Be very curious to see what Spags is going to do with them. They've danced this dance before, but I'd be very curious to see what Spags is going to do with them. I just felt like against Buffalo, he was going to bring pressure. He was going to bring pressure, and Kincaid had an opportunity to make a play. These games boil down to making plays.
Totally.
Three plays minimum, four probably max, in games like this, determine the outcome of the football game.
Yep.
Yeah, I know Josh Allen's a big guy. But you keep running that same sneak, that same sneak. Hey, Chris Jones is no midget, okay? Those guys in the interior, the Kansas City Chiefs, are not small people, okay? And I know Josh is a big guy, and, you know, what bothered me in that game was the one line judge had the ball spotted in one place. The other judge had it spotted short of the line to gain, and they went with the short guy. you know, I'm a big proponent of putting a chip in a ball. I think that's the next thing we're going to see in technology.
It seems so simple.
It may work out better, I'll tell you that.
It has to.
If they can read your easy pass going 70, how come you can't put a chip in a football and figure this thing out?
70? Sometimes I go into it faster than that. I hate to say it out loud.
Gee,
Joe, while I got you, man, what do you think about Eagles Chiefs? Chiefs going for a three-peat would be completely unprecedented.
It is unprecedented, but just the fact that they've been to so many in the last 5 years, they've been to so many of them. I think that they're a very diverse offense right now, and defensively, they found themselves last year. Prior to last year, I felt like their offense carried them. Last year, I felt like their defense stepped it up a bit. This year, I feel like they're going to have a lot of people healthy. Their safeties are like linebackers. They run like corners. They hit like linebackers. I think they can match up really well physically, and I just don't see Saquon taking off and breaking the kind of plays that he did, which is going to make the Eagles work harder on offense. Certainly, I give the edge to Kansas City offensively.
Yeah.
Defensively, I think that I think we exposed a little bit of what Philadelphia can have done to them in just the limited opportunities that we had. And, you know, it wouldn't shock me one bit to see Kansas City with the three-peat. Not one bit whatsoever. I think Travis Kelce will have to be a bigger part of that game. But, you know, Philly's linebackers are pretty darn athletic, too.
Yeah,
I mean, basically, sure. You know, Buffalo took Kelce out of the game. Pretty much yesterday. Yeah. So,
and meanwhile, Ertz eight.
Yep. Each team has a lot of weapons. Yeah,
for sure. Maybe we'll circle back Super Bowl week,
right, Joe.
Maybe we'll see you in
New
Orleans. We appreciate you making time for us all year, man. Thank you.
You bet, you guys. Look forward to catching up. Take care.
All right, man. Take care.
Joe Theismann, simply one of the best. When we come back, we got a little bit of a press conference down in Dallas where something made me laugh. I'll tell you that much. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitchell Finley.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. Super Bowl 59. One game, two teams, endless possibilities. And there's no better way to make every play more exciting than with FanDuel Sportsbook. Whether you're predicting the first touchdown, who will take home the MVP trophy, or the coin toss, FanDuel makes it easy to place your bets and feel the thrill of every moment. With live betting all game long, you can jump into action, adjust your bets, and ride the wave of excitement from kickoff to the final whistle. Plus, to make the Super Bowl even sweeter, new customers can score $200 when you make your first bet. Just place a $5 bet, and if you win, you'll get $200 in bonus bets. Download the app or head to FanDuel.com/Brian to bet with FanDuel, official partner of the Super Bowl 59. FanDuel Sportsbook is official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years or older and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Gambler.
106.7 The Fan. Great interview there with Joe Theismann. If you missed any of that, get on the Odyssey app, hit rewind, or check out the podcast, however you access that stuff. Joe T was great. I think Joe T has a real good understanding of, all right, obviously yesterday sucked, but at the same time, there's been a great year.
Yeah.
And things are going to change. Rosters are going to change. Coaching staff's going to change. There's going to be changes, but there's a lot to be excited about.
Totally.
My guy Sean in Fairfax was at the game yesterday. Sean, how was it in the link, man?
You guys got me okay? Happy Misery Monday. Yeah, first time at the link yesterday. Took my son. The Phillies fans weren't that bad, actually. I was pleasantly surprised. I mean, I had my Riggins jersey. I got more compliments on the Riggins jersey and talking about how good Riggo was. Even Eagles fans love Riggo and wishing me good luck for the game. And the experience overall is pretty good. Love the stadium. Hopefully we get something similar here in D.C. But I think, like most things, you treat people with dignity and respect, and they'll do the same thing for you. But so, lifelong Skins fan, I took my son, who was 6 at the time, the 2010 Eagles game, the Monday night game. We got wiped out 59-28. So I wanted to take him back again so we can avenge ourselves, but we lost by 32 yesterday. So that kind of sucked. But I'm excited and hopeful for the future. And let's get going. Thanks, guys.
All right, brother. Thank you, bud. I think that's a great call. I'm glad he didn't have much trouble with the Philly crowd. I've heard different things from different people. I think a lot of it is how you approach it, right? And but there's certainly some jerks up there. Not going to lie about that. Our guy Drew is on the line. I was hanging out with Drew Saturday night. I know he was enjoying himself. Drew, how you feeling, you know, not even 24 hours after a drubbing in the NFC title game?
Yeah, I mean, look, I took some time this morning to write down some stuff. Some of it's what you guys have said. I'm disappointed about yesterday. You know, the refs were bad, the turnovers were worse, and Philly played better. I literally had that written down. I think you said almost the same thing, JP, so that was funny. But none of that changes how I felt all the days before yesterday, right? This was the best season in more than 3 decades, and nothing erases that. And then looking forward, I mean, I don't take anything for granted. We might not get back to where we were, but we're certainly in a better place to get back than we were this time last year with ownership, general manager, coaches, QB, potential for a new stadium. There's really only one thing I'm sad about. You know, last year we turned over 35 guys. Next year, probably less, right? But still 10 or 20 guys. And I'm sad for the guys that are going to have to leave, because you could tell this team had a brotherhood this year. Washington's a place that people want to be now. And some of the guys that have to go are not going to really want to go. And so I feel bad for them. But this was a great year for us. So overall, it's good. And we got more to look forward to.
Know what I say about that, though, Drew? They chose that profession. You know, a lot of us choose it knowing it ain't going to always be the same. And, you know, these guys know where they got to improve. I mean, hell, nobody has to tell them. They're on the team. They watch it. They play the game. They know.
I'm with you, Drew. It was great to see you, man. Always fun. And so what happened? Your wife didn't come to the rally, right? I didn't see her at the rally.
No, she was feeling sick. Alex was actually sick and we're down in Tuscaloosa. Sherry wasn't feeling good, but she made it to the game yesterday.
I saw her at the game.
I do want to share one thing.
Okay.
One little small story about that event Saturday night. You know, I had a moment to talk with Mitch Rales, and I told him that, you know, the last time I saw my mom was at a game and the last picture I have with her. And he just put his hand around me, and, you know, we just shared a moment. And in those 5 minutes, he expressed more real decency and humanity than we got from the previous owner in 25 years. So I just appreciate what these guys are doing, and I'm looking forward to, you know, this being a ride we can be on for a while.
Hey, man, Mitch is the guy, bro.
Dude, I'm really glad you brought that up, Drew. For Mitch Rales to come to the rally, he brought his young daughter with him. He joked with me. He's like, yeah, you know, I'm going to be late to the ownership meeting because I wanted my daughter to see what it's like at these fan rallies. Uh-huh. And he did a brief minute on air with me for the All Ear show. And Mitch is, I think, Harris, Rails, Ein are the guys you see most of the time.
Yep.
But there's a lot more people in that ownership group, and they're all – awesome and friendly and polite and approachable and humans. And when they talk about talent, culture, and people, like
they're
building it because it's from the top. Like that's how they approach things.
Totally.
And it's really impressive because, like, most of us as regular people are blinded by the wealth, right?
Mm-hmm.
But these people are examples that, like, the wealth doesn't have to create a decency vacuum. Like, you could still just be a good person and be loaded.
Yeah.
And we don't always get to see that or know that, and it's been rewarding, I would say. And I think it's been rewarding for fans.
Totally.
Certainly. We've got some sound from Dan Quinn we want to play from last night. So everybody understands the schedule out here today. Locker clean out is always the day after the season ends. This is going to be a very different locker clean out than I've ever covered, because usually it's the day after the regular season ends and the questions are who's getting fired. Today, that's not the case. This is a very different situation. Obviously, there are going to be people in that locker room today that won't be back in June mandatory minicamp, whenever that is. That's just how it goes in the NFL. So locker cleanout starts at 1:00. There's a team meeting this afternoon, and then Dan Quinn and Adam Peters will address the media following the meeting. DQ and AP are set to address us at 5:00. So just going by the math there, my guess is the team meeting is probably 4:00, 4:30. So the locker cleanout is just like a giant variable. When guys come in and come out, you just try to get some time with them. We will get as much of that sound as we can, but maybe tomorrow we run a lot of it. It's going to be an emotional day for some of these dudes, honestly, because they came so far and got so much accomplished, and yet you leave with this bittersweet taste. The other part of locker cleanout is they physically have to fill up bags of stuff to take with them, and it's like moving. It's like moving day.
Tony.
And if you're looking for a mover in the DMV, do I have the mover for you? Metropolitan Moving and Storage. They're the official and unofficial moving and storage company of 106.7 The Fan. Seriously, they've moved like half the station multiple times. They moved Drab, Grant, Danny, people's family, their in-laws. They're really good at what they do, and I've known these guys since high school, man. They built this company on their own backs, and now they're the leading moving and storage company in the DMV. You hit up Justin McCarty, dude, 301-279-0090. I've known him since we were like 14, and the fact that he's built this business to what it is now is just crazy. Justin and John were driving these trucks, man. Now they got storage facilities. If you have like a complicated move, right? Say you've got art or sculptures or any of that, they can build custom crates to make sure that goes well. And here's how you know that it's a different vibe. They'll send a moving consultant to your home or your office to give you a free on-site estimate before anything gets started. And the way they operate is they're not sharing truck space with anybody. You get your own truck, your own crew for any long-distance move. Trust me, call my guys Justin and John over at Metropolitan Moving, 301-279-0090, or check them out at dcmetropolitanmoving.com. B? DQ talked last night, understandingly melancholy, I would say. I like this a lot because I think this is the hardest thing to do in the immediate moments after losing in the NFC title game. Dude, you know what coaches want to do? Win. They want to get to the Super Bowl, and when you're that close, it is tough. It is tough to lose like that. Number five, Landini, Dan Quinn asked about balancing a good season with a bad ending.
Yeah, probably too early for me yet. I wasn't there. What I can say that no locker room's the same year to year, and so I wanted to make sure they spent that time together because they've created something that's very cool here, John, and it's going to pay off for years to come. But every person had a role in that.
He's right. Mm-hmm. They all did. And today, and I don't know that he'll have a better answer. And I don't even know, honestly, on a personal level for you and I, how you balance. They had a great year with an ass kicking at the end. You know what I mean? Like it's tough to balance that. And I think
it's tough for us. You get, but players learn that they learn like things are when it ends, and you got to be able to face it, and you got to be honest with yourself. You know, each man, you can't sit up here and somebody might have fumbled, but guess what? You might have missed a block that somebody don't know about.
Right.
You know, you may have missed an assignment that somebody don't know about. But they have to figure out a way to – everybody at one point has a cornerback mentality. You got to forget about what was and think about what you have to do, what's going to be. That's the main thing. So
I'm with you. Let's hear a little bit more from DQ. 10 landfill on what the playoff run means for the organization.
Yes, and there's a lot, man. It's like you know, you'd like to do this at home. They're hard to get to, and so each of the moments, what I want to take from that is this team wasn't one that looked ahead. They had enough discipline to stay in it for the wild card game. In the divisional week, they weren't thinking down the road. And that was the same thing this week. It was just this game against Philadelphia. And that takes discipline to when the outside world, hey, you're two wins away or this. And so, yep, it's Philadelphia. And so this was not a case of that. I want to make sure I'm super clear on that. So that is something to take away. Can you be disciplined enough to stay in the moment of the game? And we did a good job on that during the season as well, where you just felt like we were never out of the fight. And those are important things to have.
Well, dude, to that point, I love that he mentioned discipline there because I think there's like a misnomer with players, coaches, that you allow players to get away with stuff. And I think the best players, coaches are those that bring out a passion and a brotherhood in their players, like we saw here, but are also because you're so locked in on as players in a room that nobody wants to let the other one down,
yeah,
that you become more disciplined in your practice habits and your study habits, and you're committed to making sure that everyone's doing that,
mm-hmm.
and you don't want to be the guy that breaks that chain.
100%. And I think that also that player coach, what they do, they can read the room. And once, I guarantee you, if you talk to every coach to a man, once they realize the leaders on their team has control of the team, they take a step back. Because I've said many a times to you where if a coach told me something, take it with a grain of salt. Because I don't care. People always feel like the coach and coach players feel it, that that's management. But if a player came and told you the exact same thing as the coach told you, you probably take it because you see him as your brother, feel like he's trying to help you. When the coach told you the exact same thing, you don't think the coach is trying to help you.
Bro,
you always have to figure out, is he telling me something truthful or he's trying to finagle something? You know what I mean?
Bro, when you're a kid and your parents tell you something,
you don't listen.
Oh, I don't know about them.
But then their best friend tells you something.
Yeah,
you
listen to it. Your older cousin says something. You're like, oh, wow.
Yeah, man. Jimmy, you right. Jimmy was the one getting in trouble all the damn time.
My dad's name was Jimmy. is the whole team, 1 to 53, hell, 1 to 65 nowadays, coaches, front office, staffers all over. It's a whole team. But one dude was driving this bus, and his name was Jaden Daniels. Dan Quinn talking about Jaden Daniels, number 3, Lindy.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem like there's going to be one that's too big, Ben, honestly. He's got rare competitiveness that makes him unique in a lot of ways. I love inside, you know, how he can stay into this space, you know, in the toughest environments. You know, it hurt him to come out at the end. He wanted to stay in. I said, nah, that's my call. But that's the competitor, honestly. He's just, you know, kind of wired in that way.
He is wired in mm-hmm. that way. Phone lines the whole final hour. 800-636-1067. If you're on hold, we're coming. If you haven't gotten through yet, keep calling. Phone lines the whole last hour. You're listening to B. Mitchell Finley.